Like I said, that song got me kind of emotional. You know, the youth department, like Antonio said, you know, my name's Pastor Michelle, and my husband and I are the youth pastors here at The Rock, and we grew up in the youth ministry. I grew up in the children's ministry, actually. I went to children's camp, and Pastor Mike and Sue were my children's pastors, and grew up in the youth ministry. And, you know, I did some, you know, a few years, I did my own thing in high school, just like most people do. Came back to God around the age of 16. And then as I graduated, God opened up an opportunity here at The Rock for me and Richard to become interns. You know, so we became the first interns at The Rock Church. And God just really just molded us and was just pushing us to go into ministry. And God opened up a job here at The Rock. And here we are, the youth pastors. And it's been like 10 years. And God is just good. I have two kids. And I have a one-year-old who is this blonde, blue-eyed cutie. And I have an almost three-year-old who is sassy as ever. She's, I don't know, she'll be the president. I don't know what she's going to be. She knows what she wants. She going to get it. And so that's just a little bit about me, but enough about me. Let's get in. I want to get into the word because that song really touched me because it has something to do with my message tonight. You see, there's, I don't know how many people are in here, probably over 150, I don't know, close to 200 young adults in this room who are singing to God, use me, use me, use me. And I want to challenge you tonight. Do you really mean that? Do you really mean that? And it chokes me up because if you do, 200 young people who hate sin and love God, who say, use me, God, to walk in purity, to bring this world, heaven, will change the world. Some preachers don't like to give people a goal that... But tonight, we're not talking about our love story. We're talking about God. And God is moving in the youth ministry. This whole month, we've been talking about when worlds collide and bringing heaven to earth. And I'm not preaching that message, but I'm bringing that same kind of spirit and anointing here because I want you to catch it. God is moving. And he wants us to bring, because I didn't want to go to hell. There's probably a lot of you in this place who can attest to that. You know, it was like a fire insurance, right? You knew that it was a good thing to do, but the biggest reason is because you didn't want to spend eternity in hell. I remember in a Bible study meeting with our youth pastor, the moment it hit me, a revelation from God, something dropped in my spirit and it just exploded in my heart. And it was the fact that I love Jesus and that's why I'm saved. And it was like this revelation, like it wasn't no longer that I just don't want to go to hell, but it was that I actually want to live for God my life here on earth. And heaven is just a bonus. It's just a plus. You see, when you guys get saved, you raise your hand, you say a prayer, your life follows up with that prayer, because I know we're not so silly to think that these are magical prayers, but our life follows up with it. And if you've had the privilege of getting baptized in water, which is an amazing thing, if you haven't done that, you need to do that. We do it every single month. We don't just hold you underwater till you die, and then poof, you're in heaven. Because if there was no significance here on earth, then we might as well do that. But that's not what God told us to do. See, there's a bigger plan, and that plan is realized when you get a revelation of who Jesus Christ is in your life and your significance. Because maybe you don't know how important you are to the plan of God. Maybe you thought you were just another person on this planet with the other 5 billion, and who does God notice? Well, he notices you. And did you know that the most introverted person, a study was taken probably 15 years ago, the most introverted person will influence 10,000 people in their lifetime. Now, that study was taken before Facebook and Twitter and all this other stuff. So you're important. You have influence somewhere around you. And you need to realize your significance. You need to get that revelation of Jesus. It's kind of like when Peter got the revelation of Jesus. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew 16. We're going to get into the Word. We're going to have a little Bible study tonight. We're going to be flipping through a lot of scriptures. It's going to be good. But it says in Matthew 16, verse number 15, Jesus said to his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock," which the rock was the revelation that he had about Jesus Christ, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." You see, we have a plan with the kingdom of God being released here on earth. The kingdom of heaven being released. In fact, it started with John the Baptist. When he prepared the way for Jesus Christ. He was saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, if you think about the Old Testament, when they thought about heaven, it was usually the location up in the stars where God lived. That's what they thought about heaven most of the time. It wasn't until, you know, just much, much later that there was a talk about eternity and stuff. But it was mostly just very, you know, very far away. Heaven is not near. But then John the Baptist starts to say something different. Prepare the way for Jesus Christ. And that's what he begins to preach. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus begins to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was bringing a whole new mindset to everybody. He was shaking them up, saying that heaven can be released here on earth. And we are part of that plan, you guys. We are part of it. We get to be a part of it. God has a plan for you. See, Jesus was so passionate about the kingdom of heaven. Then in Matthew 13, if you ever feel like reading your Bible on your own, which you should, it says in Matthew 13, there's seven parables about the kingdom of heaven because it was so important to Jesus Christ that he tells these parables that talk about it. And I don't have time to go into it tonight, but you can read it on your own. It was so important. In fact, Jesus even, he begins to change the way that they were thinking about prayers. He says, don't pray really long for everyone to hear you with all these vain repetitions. But he says, just be simple and pray this prayer. Our God who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, he was bringing a new concept and a new mindset. You see, you guys, if you don't think you're important, then the devil's messed with your thinking because you are really, really significant to the plan of God. Because you can bring heaven to the people around you. You can bring value to their life. You can bring this thing called Jesus, who was not just a good person, who has, he is not comparable to Gandhi. He is not comparable to these great leaders. He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the living God, just as Peter got that revelation. And when we get it, it's going to change your world. It's going to change this inland empire. If we can get 200 young adults, say, God, use me. Use me. Use you for what? Bring heaven to earth. Let's live that kind of lifestyle. Just as we can release the kingdom of heaven here on earth, we can also shut it up. Isn't that surprising? Matthew 23, verse number 13. Jesus was talking, and Jesus, I love people who have a very minimal idea of Jesus, because maybe you think, well, Jesus was just this sweet, you know, little rabbi that, you know, had this beard and long hair, and he constantly just blessed people and just the sweetest person. See what Jesus said. Matthew 23:13 says, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Hypocrites. Hypocrites is like a nasty word to me. It makes my mouth feel really, ugh. Hypocrite. Fake. Poser. Phony. Hypocrite was an actor who wore a mask. So he calls these scribes and these Pharisees, which maybe that word doesn't mean much to you, but those people were in the church. Constantly in the church. Memorizing scripture. Singing scripture. Talking about the scripture in the synagogues. He says, you hypocrites. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against me. For you neither go in yourself, nor do you allow those who enter, who are entering to go in. What is that saying? That's saying that we could come and warm this beautiful, cozy seat, and at the same time never experience the kingdom of heaven. In fact, people do it all the time. In fact, I can be sitting next to somebody who is getting everything from God, revelation after revelation after revelation. And I myself, if I do not accept the revelation of Jesus Christ, it'll be shut up to me. And me not doing anything about it will shut it up to others. So many people are worried about offending somebody. What if they don't believe in heaven? What if they don't believe in hell? What if they're not Christians? What if they have another God? What if they do? What if this is real? What if there is a heaven and a hell? What if Jesus Christ is Lord? What if this is the way, the truth, and the life? And it is. Is it our right to shut it up? No. If we know it, we need to release it. I don't want to be in the same group as the Pharisees and the scribes. So tonight, I'm coming before you and just basically begging you to realize your significance, to realize how important you are, to realize that your cute little bum isn't there just to warm a seat, because we're not going to be raising our chairs towards heaven saying, God, look at my bum print. I was in like 3 services a week, Lord. Doesn't care about that. Are you getting the revelation inside of you? And are you releasing it? You're the preacher. Make your Starbucks drink that you guys say, you know, this espresso is like the Lord. And let me tell you why. You know, because of the Lord. Okay, I'm not saying that. Just live your life. Give to those. Be generous. Love them. Love people. Be a generous person with your life. And watch God move in your life and you release heaven on earth. Life is just a vapor, you guys. It's just a vapor. How are you going to live it? My husband and I were talking about a couple. They're like about in their 60s. He grew up with them. They lived across the street from him. And this couple, they're just interesting. You ever meet people and you're like, wow, there's no word but interesting. Like, it's just interesting. And it's just, I've hung out with them a couple times because they were kind of like a family friend of his family and stuff. And the respect in their marriage is like nothing. There's no respect. In fact, this woman, I mean, she's a good person, but he thinks it's okay to call her the beeve because she has, you know, teeth. Yeah. All right. And so he thinks it's okay to call his wife the beeve. We're talking about like decades of marriage here. Okay. Let's talk about this. They don't love each other anymore. How could you? Right. But they're staying together because of financial obligation. And I think to myself, she's in her 60s. She has, I don't know how many years left, you know, 20 to 30, 40 years. I don't know, God willing, whatever. And you want to spend it with somebody who calls you the beeve out of financial obligation? These people need to hear about the kingdom of God. There's more to life than just that. There's more to life than waking up, not remembering what you did on Friday night. There's more to life than living in regret. More to life than thinking, am I pregnant? Am I not pregnant? What am I doing with this person? More to life than just sitting and watching those same commercials about going to the same exact colleges because you've been watching Jerry Springer all morning, afternoon, into the midnight, okay? There's more to life. And we've got to release that to them. Bring heaven to them. Bring heaven on earth. That's what it's about. So tonight, I want to talk to you about growing the kingdom of God. And I'm going to go fast. I know I'm so passionate and I don't have so much to say. But I'm going to go fast. Because Peter got this revelation about Jesus Christ. And that's point number one, is we need to keep Jesus the key. He is the key. He says, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to give you the keys to heaven. That he's the key. In John 6:68, Jesus had this big thing that happened. There's kind of a big commotion that happened, and a lot of his disciples left him because it was a really interesting argument, and that deserves a message in its own. And a lot of his disciples couldn't agree with him on what he was saying. So then Jesus says to them, "Are you going to leave too?" He turns around to his close disciples. "Are you going to leave too?" He says, but Simon Peter answered him, said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." That revelation stayed with him, you guys. Because there's going to be times in your life where you will feel like, should I walk away from God? Do I really believe this? And we'd all be liars if we said that we never asked ourselves that. When you sit in class and they debate over and over and over again about how God is not real and science disproves God and all this mumbo jumbo. I think science proves God. I don't understand why it disproves God, because it actually proves God. And you can stand there and say, should I leave? And you're going to think that. But you've got to remember, who else has the words of eternal life? Who else is that key? It's Jesus Christ. But you know what's even more amazing? Is that Peter, who got this revelation, also denied Jesus. Do you remember that? When Jesus was going to the cross. And people said, isn't that the guy that was with Jesus? And Peter said, no, that's not me, that's not me. And he denied Jesus. And Jesus called it before. He knew it was going to happen. So what's the deal with that? I mean, it's kind of weird that we can go for Jesus and then we can go away from Jesus. And that's my point number two about growing the kingdom, is that don't trade it. Don't trade it. So many people want to live a Christian life where they can carry God and they can carry the world. But you can't. You cannot. In fact, when you do something like that, Jesus calls in Revelation being lukewarm. It's like you're not hot, you're not cold, you're lukewarm. Maybe you've heard it explained where you have one foot with the world and one foot with God, and you're riding a fence, and it's extremely uncomfortable. Because you go to church and you lift your hands, you say, yes, I agree with that. But then you go out into the world and you try to live like them. And you try to get from them how you should be. But you can't, because anytime you have God and you try to pick up the world, you are trading it. You're walking away. You cannot serve two gods. You can only serve one. And people want to make it so comfortable and so easy, but it's not. Serving God is not always comfortable and easy. Maybe some of you struggle with stuff. Everybody struggles with something. Maybe you've had that fighting match with God. Have you ever had a fighting match? You know, he doesn't really yell back, but you're yelling at God and you're saying, God, why do I struggle with, you can fill in the blank here, whatever it is. You say to him, if only I would do anything not to struggle with this. Why me, God? Why do I have to deal with that? Are you real, God? Because if you're real, then why am I struggling with that? And my question to you is, who told you you weren't going to struggle? You know, Jesus sent his disciples out to preach, to say to everybody, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do you know what he told them? He says, I send you out as sheep amongst the wolves. And here we are thinking that I'm not supposed to struggle with anything. But God knows. Do you think God is so mean that he says, yes, you weren't supposed to struggle? God knows. God knows, and he has grace, and he has mercy, and he has love. He knows. He wants you to keep growing in that area. But so many times, we can get so fed up with it that we feel like trading. We feel like trading. Maybe not at first, but as we struggle more and more, or maybe it's an instant. Maybe you never thought it was going to happen. But you start to do things you never dreamt you were going to do. You didn't plan this. You weren't planning on acting like this or behaving like this. I want to show you a scripture in Genesis. In Genesis, let's see, turn to chapter 25. This is a story of Esau and Jacob. And he did something, Esau, he traded something. When the firstborn is born, there's a birthright put on him. There's a lot of responsibility with the firstborn. If one of his siblings pass away, the firstborn has to marry their wife. Kind of weird, right? Okay, not the same anymore. Hallelujah. Okay, but see, I told you I can switch really fast. All right, but when the firstborn is born, right, so they also get a double inheritance. Because if you're going to have more than one wife, you better have some money with that, okay? And so there was a lot of responsibility, but a lot of blessing on the firstborn. And I want to read to you in 25, verse number 29. Esau was the firstborn. Jacob was the secondborn. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was Edom. But Jacob said to him, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." Now that's just wrong. You had a younger brother or sister that was mean. I mean, they weren't as mean as this. This is awful. You do not trade your birthright. You do not sell your birthright. It says, then Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." And he swore to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau the bread and the stew of lentils, which is beans. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Then Esau despised his birthright. You do not trade your birthright. You just don't. In fact, in Hebrews, it goes through a long list of the fathers of faith, these great people. It goes through, you know, Abraham and how great he was. And it goes through Moses and all these different people. But then it says, let's see, in Hebrews. Sorry, guys. In Hebrews, I was on a roll, Lord. What's up with that? Okay. In Hebrews, it talks about, I'll just tell you if I don't got it. Do you guys have it on the overhead? Bree, you're amazing. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Now let's talk about the people who were the fathers of faith. Abraham. Well, you know, Abraham kind of messed up because he actually gave his wife to sleep, you know, with Pharaoh and stuff, and God protected that, but he's a father of faith. And then you look at Moses, who actually was a premeditated murderer. Remember when he murdered the Egyptian? But he was a father of faith. And then you look at Rahab, who was a prostitute, need I say more, but she had faith. And then you look at Esau, who sold his birthright. And they said, lest there be anyone like him, for he sold his birthright. He was despised. In fact, they even changed his name. Remember, his name was Esau, but they said, your name will no longer be Esau, it will be Edom, which means red. And in the story, if you look at where it says red stew, red means Edom. It means red. So he didn't actually say stew, he said red. I want a bowl of that red stuff. And red stuff back then was also a word for blood. Now, blood, to that culture, they didn't know everything about blood. All they knew that it was red liquid, that when you were out of it, you were dead. Okay, that's what they knew. All right, it was like this mysterious red liquid that, hey, if you got poked and it all came out of you, then you were dead. So when Esau saw this stuff, this Edom, and he saw it, he said, give me that. Give me that, because blood was a life source. If you didn't have blood, if you didn't have that red stuff inside of you, then you were dead. So he thought to himself, if I don't get that inside of me, then I will be dead. That's for sure what was going to happen. So much to the point that he sold his birthright. Okay, are you guys with me? He sold his birthright for that. And it even changed his name to Edom. You see, you guys, some of us look at things. We look at a person. We look at a relationship. We look at a job. We look at a lifestyle. And we say, if I can't live without that, then I'm going to be dead. There is no way I cannot live without that. And we can actually trade our birthright, our blessing from God, our significance with God. We can trade that. We just look at it. And then what it ends up being is a bowl of beans for our birthright. We all can fall into that situation, you guys. Every one of us. You know, there's a girl. She feels like, I'm going to lose him. I'm going to lose him. Let me just sleep with him. I know that's what he wants. We think we can't live without it. Then at the end of it, there's regret. It happens. Maybe it's anger. You get so angry. You think you just got to get that revenge. You just got to get that last word. Then you say it and you crush that person with your words. It's just a bowl of beans. Maybe it's an addiction. You've been trying so hard to not go there, to not do that, to not drink that, to not smoke that. Then you do it. It just feels awful. So much regret, so much remorse. A bowl of beans. You see, you guys, you are so significant. Do not trade your years right now as young people for God for a bowl of beans. Let God use you. Let God use you. Don't let the devil trick you into thinking that's your life source. That's what you need. You need to live like that person. You are young. You don't need to settle down in church. Go live your life. You don't know. You don't need to marry that girl. You need to test drive it, okay? Don't sell it for a bowl of beans. God has a plan for you. Number three, the last one. How do we grow the kingdom of God? Is keep it by walking in the Spirit. How do you not sell it for a bowl of beans? You keep walking in the Spirit. Do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's what you need to do. Walk in the Spirit. Sunday night, who was here last Sunday night in the main sanctuary? Now, we were in the youth, but I heard there were tons of people. We opened up the altar. There was a giant trash can, and people brought tons of stuff, tons of fleshly things, and threw it in the trash to walk on with Jesus Christ. And it was just amazing. The Spirit of God just broke through. You know, when I got saved, I didn't know that was a spiritual thing in the Bible. Did you know they did that in the book of Acts? I didn't know that. But I did know when I got saved, I had to throw away a bunch of junk that I've collected over my life. I had to throw away tons of stuff. This little youth pastor has been arrested a couple times, did some drugs here and there. I mean, there, but for some reason, I had like a whole trash bag. I remember I was like 16. I'm like, how do I have so much stuff? But I threw it away because I wanted to walk in the Spirit. You want to hang on to that stuff? Fine. But it'll get you. It'll catch you and watch yourself trading it. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the Spirit. The Spirit is just, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Did you know that? When you get saved, when you get born again, the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. That's why it's so important to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you may just be like, whoa, this church just got weird. Okay, I'm not saying that God is like, what's up, dude? This is the Spirit. God. Okay? That hasn't happened to me. Not saying it can't happen. But it's just these things inside of you. It's like when you start to watch a movie and you know it's wrong. It's like the Holy Spirit's like cringing and flip-flopping inside of you. And you're like, ah. How about gossip? So easy to trade blessings of God for gossip, right? I was just talking about it with somebody. The worst thing is when you start gossiping and you're like, stop, but you can't. You have to finish the story because you already started it. And it's like, ah. Just walk in the Spirit. Just walk in the Spirit. And I tell you what, the kingdom of God will grow inside of you. If you guys got something out of that, then give the Lord a great big hand clap. God is good. God has a plan for you. He has a plan. Tag, you're it. Okay? You want God to use you? Tag, you're it. Now, I want to make sure before we move on with the rest of the services, I want to make sure everybody in this room is right with God.